If you turn to Psalm 90, verse 12, you'll find the name of this class. That was probably the hardest thing to do about this class is name it, so that it wouldn't scare people off, because it's about the end of life. And when you title something "Death and Dying," you know that's going to draw a crowd. So Bryce Waller did a much better job. We had a whole list, and he came up with the psalmist's words in chapter 90, verse 12, where he says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." And it's that's not out of context for use in this class. If you read above that, it's pointing to the 70 years that we have, 80 if we, for some reason, have great strength. Those are our days. And he says, teach us to number those so that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Other translations, if you've got an ESV or New King James, I think New King James, and New American Standard, one of them says, so we can get a heart of wisdom, which that's fine. And ESV, I think, says we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Both of those are okay, but I think it's when we, and if you haven't already, those who have, who reach that point in their life when they realize that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to this. You know, at 24, I thought I was indestructible. You know, I was surprised I made it that far, so I didn't care about the rest. I wasn't even thinking about dying. If I made it past 20, I thought, man, that's great. But there's a point in your life where you realize there was a beginning to this. There are middle years, and there's an ending to that. If you're a Christian, you know that to be true. God's Word makes it very clear that our days are numbered. God knows those days. The other thing that's true is that it's completely unpredictable. When God has appointed the time of our death, we don't know. Whether it's through living a full life into old age, whether it's through an accident or whether it's through illness, whatever it is, those our days are in God's hands. But the days that we have, we need to be as good of stewards of those as we are of everything else. So this class is about living today with eternity in mind and preparing as a service and kindness to others for the eventuality of your own departure. Which is, it's going to happen. I understand you guys just wrapped all your stuff up. That's great. That's a box you want to check off and move on. Yeah, don't have to think about it anymore. The Puritans lived lives that, of course, the mortality rate was much higher then. But living a good life was, part of that was preparing for death. That was just in their mind. And, you know, illness was rampant, and there were wars, and they didn't have the medical technology that we have. So it was obviously more sensitive, it was a subject that was always they were always faced with, and child mortality was the same. But they living a good life included preparing for your death, not so much for your funeral. Which is, you need to do that, and we're going to cover that, but. And not so much just for your soul. Of course, we need to prepare ourselves for eternity that way. But one of the greatest services you can give to those around you is to have those things taken care of, to have decisions made, to actually invest in your time and money and thought into the circumstances that will surround either illness long-term and recovery or not. And your death, to live our lives in a way that we just, okay, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to die, I'm going to let the chips fall where they fall because I won't be here and it won't make any difference. That's really selfish. That's me. I mean, that's how I used to think when I was younger. Well, yeah, I'm dying, I'm not going to care. Well, that really disregards all those who are left behind, especially if you're married. Especially if you have children. If you're single, it still has implications. So what we're going to cover in this class is giving our attention and our time and some of our resources to that particular endeavor that we're going to prepare for the future, including our death, our medical insurance, our savings, our budgeting, our burial, even our burial. All of those things. We're going to look at all those things now, early in life, so that you'll be prepared for yourself and for those around you to leave this world to the glory of God. And it's an inauguration into heaven, and you leave everybody behind, and sometimes we're jealous, for I'm envious of people that have gone before me, because I know they're standing in the presence of Christ right now. We are too. I just can't see Him except in your faces. So we're gonna cover a broad range of topics. We've never done a class like this. Susanna, I think you were here, and Beverly, I know you saw some of the Candace. And the Griggs, I think it was 2013 or 14, we did a Friday evening and Saturday morning class where we just touched on this subject. It was death and dying. And we looked at several different historical views of death, how the world views death, and we talked about some of the burial options. But this is much more robust than that. And we have some great people that are going to be presenting the class. If you've got one of these, you can. I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to kind of give you a summary of what each of these will be, so you'll know what to expect. But we've got some people who either have professional expertise or real life experience in the areas that we're going to discuss that they can impart to you. If you've never been through the loss of a loved one, if you haven't lost a spouse or parents you were very close to, then you don't know what happens when that happens. And it's going to happen. It just is. The routine is the same. Grief has the same steps in it. It works its way out differently into everybody's life. But we're all going to be confronted with that. And we want to be kind to those around us by considering ourselves how to care for that, but we also want to care for others as we look to that end. The three things we want to get out of this is, if you don't have a biblical worldview of your own mortality, we want to develop that. We want to start one. You need to grow that worldview, because everything you do today is related to that. There's a time when life will end as we know it. We'll stand before God and we'll give an account of deeds done in the flesh, and life as we know it will be over. A new life will begin. So we want to develop that. We want to give you probably more practical. We're going to give you some biblical framework to work with, but we want to give you real practical steps that you can take to prepare yourself and to help your family go through that time when you get to it. We want to help you understand that there are consequences of being prepared and not being prepared. Somebody is going to have to deal with what's left behind, and it can be as great a joy as it can possibly be in those circumstances, or it can add to the grief that they're already experiencing with the loss of someone they love. So those three things, we want to really build up a good worldview of our own mortality, and God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and the death of His saints is precious to Him, because we're leaving one life and going into another. In the meantime, we got stuff to deal with. If you're 35 or 40, you're probably building your career, worried about your mortgage, raising your kids, getting them in school, looking towards college, and at any moment, any of that, the course of that can change. And you at least need to get your head around the idea that this is not forever. You don't need to walk around, you know, in darkness and gloom and, oh my God, the kids are going to die tomorrow. They might. We lost our daughter-in-law just a couple of years ago. A year ago, Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact. Bless his heart. Chris and Melissa Ward, this weekend, he lost his wife. They're in their early 40s. Unprepared. He's an attorney. Nothing on him. It's just that's how most of us are. We haven't made plans for this kind of thing. So we're gonna look at a broad range of topics that will help you begin to think through preparation, how you live your life now as you prepare for that. We can't give you everything. There's no way in the world to cover everything, and each person that presents won't be able to answer every question. But we're going to take a stab at it, and we'll probably do this class again next year, and we'll improve on it. First time we've done it, it's not your typical school discipleship class. So let me just go through. If you have one of the schedules there, let me just go through there and explain to you what we're going to do. Anybody not have one? Okay. Very first thing we're going to do next week is there you go. Marcus Servin will lay a theological framework for everything we consider. Everything we consider about this issue is grounded in God's Word. Even the type of burial that you have, how the church responds to those around them who are mourning, grieving, ill, whatever. All of those issues, you have to have a theology of death and dying. And Marcus will do that next week. And I know he can do an excellent job at that. On the 4th, February 4th, one of the things that we'll have to do, because we're Christians, because we're guided by God's Word, a lot of the things we do have ethical implications. Is there such a thing as Christian euthanasia? Well, some think there are. There are some who actually think that we'll overcome death with technology. There are young people today. I talked to a pastor 2 weeks ago who told me there are young men in his church who are fully convinced that we'll overcome death by way of technology. They'll be able to sustain life, sane life, keep that person alive forever. And they're professing Christians. They come to church. But that's a mentality that we're kind of up against and have to inform. Need to help them understand that's not the case. As great as technology is, but there are ethical decisions we have to make. And boy, if you're talking to somebody who has a spouse in the hospital who doesn't seem to be coming back, that's really tough. That is hard to help them think through, to minister to them, pray with them, and give them counsel or advice on what do you do? How long is enough? When is it too soon? I mean, those are tough decisions. And all of us will probably come down in different places on that. And that's okay. There's more than one right answer to many of these situations, many of these questions. Same thing with type of burial. There are good multiple options. So Bryce Waller, Pastor Waller, is going to be covering some of the ethical issues that you'll have to deal with, and you may have already been through them and not done well. I know I didn't. I was in Pennsylvania when my mother, my dad both died. Brother had a massive heart attack, and my sister had a radical double mastectomy. All of that happened in my absence, and I had a lot of guilt. I was not here to help any of them. My brother and sister were. But he's the one that had the heart attack, and she's the one that had the mastectomy. She has cancer. And here I am, perfectly healthy in Pennsylvania, and I can't get down here to help them. Even proximity is something that we need to consider as we care for our families, extended family. Do we want to stay close to our families? Are you bound to do that? Well, probably not. But we need to think through those kind of things. There are a number of ethical issues that Bryce will cover. When to withhold care, that kind of thing. And then on weeks of February 11th through the 25th, we're going to hear from Lynn Coates, Faith Perry, and who else did I put in there? I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, the Chapmans. Hear from Joel and Janet. Hear from Faith and Lynn on a spouse. One is an accident. One is an unexpected illness. And then we'll also hear from the Chapmans on caring for your parents. There's a time when your parents will become the children. They cared for you. The time will come, if you're faithful and close to your family, that you'll be caring for them, and they do become like children. I did see both my parents enough during their decline to know that I didn't know who they were. They didn't know who I was. And how do you deal with that? So Janet and Joel are going to give us a little bit on that. Plus, they're going to give us the unexpected stuff that you're going to run up. What do you do for space? Where do they stay? How does the medical system work? How do you work your way through it? Does that person have the insurance they need? What can you offer them? How does the church interact in helping with that? So they're going to cover some of those things. And then Faith and Lynn both are going to just kind of give you a pretty good idea of things change. They're this way one day, and they're this way the next day. And, of course, it's not going to happen to me, so I don't have to worry about that. That's what everybody says. Hey, Marcus, how you doing? So they'll be covering the personal experience involved in it. And then Bryce is going to come back, and he's going to kind of walk us through the predictable stages of grief that everybody goes through. And they are predictable stages, but they just don't always look the same in everyone. People don't deal with grief the same way that other people do. And some people you'll never see. They're dealing with grief. Bryce has done this class before in his church, and he'll be able to give us some good insight on that and how the church ministers to those who are mourning or grieving. Oh, the other thing, I'm sorry, I left that out. The crisis care team. We'll have a member of the crisis care team. And does everybody know that we have one? A crisis care team? Does anybody know what that is? Who knows what it is? They're afraid. There you go, Beverly. What's our crisis care team?
It's a group of men and women that try to help any family that has a need, whether it's because of a death or an illness or whatever. And it may be with food, transportation, company, whatever.
Right.
They need, they try to know, you know, get involved with the members of that family and
right.
What's going on.
Right. Janet, you want to add anything?
Well, sometimes it's a coordination of our schedule of volunteers
right.
to support.
Right.
As Beverly said, transportation or meals being delivered.
Yeah.
And just kind of being a connection with that, with a key family member so that we aren't pestering them with unwanted phone calls and updates.
Right.
You know, we
don't
really have 20 people calling them, we have
sure.
one person texting them.
Yeah, 40 tons of food coming over when they don't really need. I mean, it's well-meaning, but there needs to be some coordination there. And then there are some in there, and Faith's been a part of this. When things get really dark for some of the people in our church, and their circumstances are such, and of course the deacons can't do everything, pastors can't do everything, elders can't do everything, and the deacons can't. But the members. This team is made up of people who are mature. They're understanding. They have been around the block more than a couple of times. They know life. And they have been through some circumstances of their own that would equip them to deal with people who are struggling with the loss of a spouse, who are looking at the possibility of long-term hospitalization. And they know how to step in and bring the gospel to that situation. Not evangelism, can be, but to bring the gospel. Where is the gospel in the midst of someone being in the hospital for 3 or 4 months? They know how to do that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think really important, too, is to bring women into comforting family members, other women. Just because sometimes that's the link that somebody needs or feels comfortable.
Right. Right. We went over to see Faith and Dwayne when he came home, and you know, the things that you don't know what you don't know. But the things you don't, who's going to get groceries? You know, if you're at the hospital with your husband, who's going to do the things that have to be done? If you're a member of a homeowner's association, who's going to do the upkeep on your house, mow your grass, dust the furniture? I mean, that stuff has to be done. So we're going to discuss all those things and how we can all minister and care for one another, find a place for all of us to step in at some level to be able to help. But someone from the crisis care team will come and give you some real life experience stuff they've had to deal with. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, I think not knowing what you don't know is one of the most eye-opening things, because that's one of the things I walked through as my parents declined, is not realizing that, oh, well, they weren't eating because my mother could no longer cook.
Right.
You know, and how do you deal with those things? But that was, I had to learn that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And that was just one of many things. But yeah, right. I think the not knowing what you don't know.
Right. That's why we're going to hear from.
It's a biggie.
They've run into those things. I mean, you're just not sitting around thinking about, you know, see, if I've got to take my wife to the hospital today, who's going to do the laundry? I mean, I just don't think about that. But it's going to happen at some point. So we're going to have some real life experience, stuff you don't expect that it's going to come your way at some point. And then Bryce will come back in. He'll do a session on grief and how the body of Christ can minister to one another. We think we know how. Sometimes we do too much. We're in someone's face more than they really want someone in their face. It's well-meaning. We want to help. And we have to learn how to, I mean, how do you deal with that? Who knows them best? Who knows their personality and what would be best for them? For me to stay away? Or for me to, a five-minute visit? Or do they need somebody to come alongside them for long term? And we'll talk about some of those things. And then the 11th and the 18th, we're out for spring break. And then on the 28th, one of the big factors of all of this is the cost of living and dying. We think about it costing money to live. Well, it costs money to die as well. There's a lot involved the end of life that we don't think about. We don't maybe not provide for our spouse. If you're a two-income household, things radically change if one of those people departs. How would my wife sustain the lifestyle that she has, pay the mortgage, bills, if my income disappeared? And we need to think about that. Doesn't mean you have to do something about it today, and nobody's going to be in here selling you long-term disability insurance. But there needs to be some thought, you know, as you plan your life. How would I deal with that? Well, I'll just count on the church. Well, you know, good luck with that. They're well-meaning too, and they're going to help, but they're not going to know all that you need. And they're probably not going to be able to provide all that you need. There are social services that are available that we need to use. We pay into them. Because we're Christians doesn't mean that we just, well, I'm not using that because I'm a Christian. I'm not depending on the government. Well, I am. If I paid into it all my life, been a part of that, paying taxes, then services, I'm not going to put that on the church. When I've exhausted the other options, I may have to come. Somebody's got to come and say, hey, I need help. And that's part of the help we want to give them, is how do you find out what's available to you? Just the most practical stuff in the world. Anyway, Lucy's going to spend some time looking at long-term budgeting, life insurance, long-term medical care insurance, actually saving for how you're going to dispose of your body, your burial. It's pretty expensive if you take the traditional route, and there are other options available. And I don't know how many times in the last 39 years, starting in the Christian book business, I've been asked, is it wrong to cremate somebody? You know, I mean, they don't know. Jesus was buried. Is it wrong for me to be cremated? Well, we're going to talk about that. And there are options besides the traditional, you know, $10,000 funeral and cremation. And we'll discuss those. Matter of fact, I'll have someone that will be in at the very last class to discuss that. But Lucy's going to cover the cost of living and dying. How do we incorporate those all of these considerations that you'll hear about into your financial planning? And that's for the good of your family. It's not just to save up the amount of money you need for a funeral. You know, what effect does that have on your spouse when that time comes? Well, it's already done. It's taken care of. Hey, you know, the relief, it's just there's a matter of relief there. We have our headstone and the birth date, but no expiration date. That's the only thing we don't have. And we've already paid for that expiration date. So I don't have to worry about it. Carol doesn't have to worry about it. That's caring for one another. The last thing she wants to have to deal with when I die is, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What do I do now? Who comes and gets his body? I mean, those are hard things that we'll be confronted with. Of course, it may not bother her a bit, but for me it would be hard. I'll put it that way. I don't want to have to deal with it. I would be grieved at that event, and I really want to see all those things taken care of. I want to be surrounded by friends who love me and loved her and pray together and just honor her life and move on. I don't want to be confronted with all the financial decisions and logistical stuff that's really hurtful at that time. So we'll have somebody come in and do that. But Lucy's going to cover the financial planning. And then Sandy Yocklin. Has anybody been around when Sandy's been in action? Raise your hand if you have. If you've not seen Sandy at work, man, she is a savant at giving the kind of care that she does. She is brilliant. She's going to give us 2 weeks in a row. The first one's going to be on hospice and palliative care. I've had people come to me who have parents in stage 4 brain cancer, and they don't want to give them morphine because they may get addicted. And they're struggling with my parents are dying or my relative is dying, and they're not thinking straight. But Sandy will teach us all about palliative care. When do you administer it? And people are going to decide at different points in the process when you do that. And hospice care. Christopher House, just down the street, wonderful place. That's where Kathy's husband, Doug Collier, went. We've had several people go through the hospice care at Christopher House, and it's a great place. It is everything it can be for that time of life to care for you as you exit this world. She's going to talk about when do you do hospice care. Sometimes people get put in hospice care way too early. And there are financial implications to that. So we're going to discuss all that. And Sandy's going to give us a week of hospice and palliative care. And then she's going to deal with food, water, and pain. I mean, when life gets down to those necessities, that's an important period of life. And she's going to cover what that looks like, what being there means, and then the decisions that we make to administer or withhold those things. Which brings up, I think, one of the best classes. Candace Bocock is going to do a class on kind of estate planning. When Carol and I got here, depending on what state you're in, you have to have a different will. You move to Colorado, you have to have a will for Colorado. We moved to Pennsylvania, had to have a will done in Pennsylvania. We moved back here, had to have a will done. Went to see Candace, and it just blossomed into a full plan for every decision in the world that has to be made from the very moment you get sick until your goods are distributed to your children. And there are things that you will never think of, that if all that's taken care of in advance, you could save a family. We've had families that have, as a matter of fact, my wife's is one of them, that absolutely deteriorated over a few bucks. Wasn't big estates. It was a little bit of money, and people just turn on each other like you wouldn't believe. It was the most disappointing thing for her. It nearly gave her a nervous breakdown. But she had to deal with her dad's estate. It was well planned, but it wasn't regarded. But anyway, Candace, is all this stuff about what Sandy's going to tell you about hospice and about food and water and pain, all those things, those decisions can be made in advance and put down on paper so people aren't arguing over, well, I think we ought to do this for Mom. Well, I don't think we ought to do that for Mom. Well, let Mom decide, and decide early how she wants to be cared for at that time of life. And Candace is an expert in doing that. We've got a binder about this thick. It's got every step that we take for either one of us or our children from the moment that things go bad. They open the safe, pull out the binder, and everything's laid out for them. Nobody has to make decisions. They don't have to argue with each other. And that is one of the kindest things you can do for your family, is to spare them the anxiety and animosity towards one another when it comes down to, yeah, but I want that. Dad told me I could have that. Well, but he didn't put that in his will. Well, get it on paper. I know attorneys in our church that haven't done that, and they really need to. All of us need to at least start to think about it. I'm not saying you got to run to Candace next week and make an appointment and get it all set up. But you need to know by the end of this 13 weeks, I think you'll understand that this is an inevitable process. There are predictable circumstances that are going to come up. And there are steps that we can take along the way that we can apply wisdom to our lives. Because we know our days are numbered. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's better to get this done in the middle than to wait till the end to start taking care of these things. So that's kind of the layout for the class. And then Brock Bonham is going to come in on the last class. He is not a hard sell guy. We have a family of church members that are that are all going to be buried about a few feet from each other because we found out about this place that does a green burial, which is one of the options where you're put in a shroud and put in the ground, like Glen Essex was. This is a different place.
All of us north are going.
We got about five, six families. Yeah, yeah. Our stones are already there. We go out and visit each other every once in a while. but there, those are things you can do in advance, and not everybody can afford. Very expensive funeral. And it's the last time in the world that you ever need to be hit with finances like that is the loss of a loved one who may very well be providing an income and you're in financial trouble because now you don't have that income, plus you have to pay for all of these medical, the unexpected costs, burial, all that funeral, all that stuff is going to come up. And there's a way to deal with it in advance. That is very helpful to all everybody around you and to yourself. So, guy named Brock Bonham, I'm still waiting to hear back from him whether he's available that day. He's going to come and just explain the options, what the law in Texas allows, what it doesn't allow, what you can do, give you a general idea of the costs of doing each of those things, cremation or traditional burial or green burial, and may have some other options I'm not aware of, but and he'll come in on the last class to do that. So next week, Marcus Servin, I think I mentioned before you got in here that he's going to lay the theological framework for all of this because there are biblical considerations we have to make about every one of these things. How do we take God's word and apply it to our finances, to our time, to those around us, honoring our family, honoring God, in every aspect of this. So he'll start next week, and we'll we'll get going with that. So I'm going to stop talking. And if you've got any questions or additional comments, feel free to. Yes, sir.
So I became involved in my parents' planning with their lawyer, you know, living trusts. I'm the executor, but I found this very important on my last holiday back in California, being involved in that process and finding out what the gaps were. And my mother had learned from her father from the benefit of the living trust. But I'm hearing from you is you need to go further.
I was dumbfounded, quite frankly, when we went in to see Candace, because there are things that I just never, ever would have thought of. Well, in this eventuality, what would you do? Oh, well, that took care of that. Well, but what about if this happened on top of that? I mean, she just really went through all of these things, the possibilities, and how we wanted things done so that my wishes are honored, and so are my wife's wishes honored after we're gone. And it's going to eliminate squabbling among kids or jealousy or envy, or all that stuff. We're going to remove as much of that as possible. Of course, we don't have like a lot to leave them, but still, it doesn't take very much to set people off. So we're just taking care of that in advance, so it's just already done. Yes, sir?
So, Jack, when I was a young student in law school many years ago, and I'm sitting there listening to Bill Chandler talk about wills and estates, and I cannot believe what Andrew are fighting. And I'm talking to myself, this is insane. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, you live long enough in it all, you get to see it.
Yeah.
So it is important.
Not even just fighting over their stuff, fighting over how they're cared for. I mean, I want to make those decisions for myself. I don't want somebody tinkering with my last days with their latest idea of what they think ought to be done for me.
If you have a sibling that is a doctor or in the medical profession,
right,
or perhaps maybe a lawyer, it gets really complicated.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Or a lawyer. It's really complicated. Sam?
Yeah, before I, because I came out of the insurance industry myself, and weddings and funerals bring out the worst in families.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, pastors know that too. They do. But you're right. Anybody else have any questions? Yes, Barry.
Exactly. Maybe we'll do this in Candace, or maybe it's with Marcus. I think one of the hardest questions for the world and for Christians is how much is enough in terms of end-of-life care?
Right.
You look at the number,
yep,
half of our money in the last year of life on medical care.
Right.
Where do we talk about that?
Well, Bryce will talk about it in the ethics. Okay. Sandy will talk about it, options that are available, because you're going to have to decide how much is enough. I mean, I may decide differently than you do. Very little is enough for me. You know, I just DNR. Don't want to do it. I know where I'm going. I'm ready. So I don't want to prolong it, nor do I want to exhaust the finances of my family by keeping me alive in a mediocre or less quality of life. But other people may want to do that, and that is certainly their option. So we're not trying to make any say there's one way to do any of these things. We want to lay out all of the options under each of these categories, and there are good choices to make based on God's Word. There's not just a way to do everything. God didn't give us that kind of information. But there are principles that we can follow that we need to that may lead you to a different conclusion than it does me. So,
but you can say you don't need very much, but I will guarantee you that there are situations like with dementia where you may be physically strong as an ox.
Yeah, right.
But because of the mental decline,
yeah,
there needs to be a lot of care.
Right.
And that gets very costly, even if you're doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us want to go there, but it's costly.
Yeah.
And
all of this
yeah,
is. Even surviving the illness is costly.
My mother is healthy. Physically, she is incredibly healthy.
Right.
You know. And yet she asked me yesterday, now what is your name?
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. So we're going through lots of years of
sure.
care.
Yes, Janet.
Well, I think one of the things that will happen in this class is that it will encourage all of us to have as many conversations as possible mm-hmm. with our own adult children, with our parents, yeah. with our spouses mm-hmm. about these choices so that we really feel good going forward
right.
and knowing ahead of time what they would have wanted.
Right.
Before any
yeah.
dementia, before
absolutely.
Any illness,
absolutely.
You know, and it's so much easier to talk about it way ahead when it's just theoretical.
Right.
But it's really important, I think, for those of us who are older, our adult children,
right,
so that they're very clear about what our expectations.
Yeah, and I know Lucy and Candace and Sandy and some others, they're going to have resources to leave with you, links you can go to that'll answer the questions you're going to have. Or for you to be able to research a little broader anything that they bring up. So there needs to be the conversations, and there also needs to be the resources available to go out there and look, see what are my choices. So I know they're going to provide that, some handouts and stuff that'll help. We'll also have some books available that we think are helpful that you may or may not want, but we'll have them here. So stuff that would help. I know we've got another worship service to do. I don't want to hold anybody up. So, any other questions? We'll start again next week, and Dr. Servin will be serving us. Yes, ma'am.
Did I zone out when you talked about who the funeral was for?
I'm sorry?
Did you explain what you were going to talk about in the who is the funeral for?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. We've had a number of funerals here, and there are different ideas about. Is a funeral for the deceased? Is a funeral for the family? Is a funeral for the church that they're a member of? Is it a worship service? And I'm going to cover those areas. And it's a combination. The answer is yes. It is for all of those. And yes, it is worship. It is the caring for the departure of someone in the context of worshiping God, because we know where our hope is. It's in the resurrection, and what a great time to worship. They're different than the divine service, just like a wedding is different from the divine service, but they're still element of worship. So, yes, I'm sorry. Thanks for bringing that up. I forgot about me. I'll do that one. And any questions that you have as we go along, any of these people that's on this list, just give them a call. They may not want me telling you to do that, but give them a call anyway. And that's what they're here for, is to help you deal with those kind of things. And hopefully there'll be some fun in this class about death. So, yeah. Thank you. Free to go.